This is Holy Thursday, the Mass of the Lord's Supper. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, when you meet together, it is no longer possible to eat the Lord's Supper, for at the meal each one takes his own supper, and one is hungry, and another drinks overmuch. Have you not houses for your eating and drinking? Or do you despise the church of God and put to shame the needy? What am I to say to you? Am I to commend you? In this I do not commend you. For I myself have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And like manner also the cup, after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks, eats, and drinks unworthily, without distinguishing the body, eats and drinks judgment to himself. This is why many among you are infirm and weak, and many sleep. But if we judged ourselves, we should not thus be judged. But when we are judged, we are being chastised by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that the hour had come for him to pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And during the supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come forth from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to dry them with the towel with which he was girded. He came then to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you shall have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash, and he is clean all over. And you are clean, but not all." For he knew who it was that would betray him. That is why he said, "You are not all clean." Now after he had washed their feet and put on his garments, when he had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If therefore I, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you also should do." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This marks for me one more rung in the ladder in my way to God of a Mass that I have not failed to offer in all of these years in my holy priesthood, the Mass of Holy Thursday. It is then for me an extraordinary blessing, a great honor, and I would like to think a sign for me of divine blessing and love. And it is in that spirit of gratitude and humble observance that I offer this Mass and speak to you this evening. The Missal instructs the priest to preach on this day. No other day is there so explicit an instruction and direction for the priest to preach except this one. And it says, brevis, brief. And so in that spirit, I will seek to do that, unlike what I have done in the past. The reason is because we live in such a dearth of knowledge, and we live in such a climate of anti-Catholicism, anti-Christianity, as well as paganism, that I felt it incumbent upon me to speak at length, but I will not do so now. If there is one thought, one word, one instruction, if you like, that I might compress everything of all that's in this Mass, compress it into one thought, it would be love, divine love. That's the reason, you see, why it is that all the spirit of penance, of contrition, of sorrow, of reparation for sin, all of that for this brief time is all put aside. In this moment, there is then one spirit that dominates. That's why the Mass, despite all the violence of all the other Masses of Lent, Passiontide, this Mass is draped in white. White because of the spirit of joy. Joy and gratitude because of the love of God expressed in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, human and divine. I say this because it was love that did everything. Love, I told you, made the world. Love did it all, since our God needs not one of us. Our very being is a product of love, gratuitous love, free love. In fact, it is his divine love that makes us lovable. He does not love us because he is compelled to love us. He loves us because he makes us lovable, and so he chooses to love us. And it is in that spirit, you see, that everything that we read about, you see, here in the Gospel, and all that this night concludes is recalled. And so it is today, the birthday, as I've told you on many occasions now, haven't I, the birthday of the Holy Eucharist, the sacrifice of the Mass, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, as we have it to this very day, unbroken from the time that our Divine Savior instituted it on this night. It is also a special moment for priests, because it is the birthday of the priesthood. It was confected tonight. And that, of course, is of particular interest and gratitude for all of us. It is also the birthday of the Holy Liturgy that our Lord instituted tonight as well. And so it is, we are then instructed, directed, to remind you of those qualities that identify you as a true Catholic: love of the Holy Mass, which is the perpetuation, the replication of the passion and death of our Lord and Savior on the cross in an unbloody manner, but a true and real reliving, renewing of the death of Christ on the cross, and on this night by anticipation and the consecration of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And by that act, you see, there is made on the altar the death of Christ, living and yet renewing his act of sacrifice on the cross. Why do we say love? Because it was through this act that the love of God, the Son in particular, was felt over all of us, since it was this one act that made reparation for our sins, brought down divine blessing upon us, and created what we call in your catechism, what in theology they speak of as created habitual grace. We call it in the catechism sanctifying grace. All that came as a product of Christ's death on the cross, opening the gates of heaven for us as well, and conquering sin and Satan and death that he expressed in his resurrection 3 days later. That's the Mass. And that is what we depend upon more than anything else. It gives us the meaning of our lives. It renews in us our hope for a happy future, a destiny that is then restored to us. I say restored because we freely gave it up in our Father Adam. And so our Divine Savior came, and by his love for us, his desire for our happiness, that he offered himself in such a manner. And then, along with that, there is the fruit of the Mass, the Holy Eucharist as sacrament, the abiding presence. No other faith, not even those who are and call themselves Christian, no other faith, no other religion can claim to have the living presence, the divine reality of the Savior Jesus Christ, true, real, and substantial, physical, on our altars. I have told people many times, all other religions, all other philosophies, all other faiths, if you like, have as their root a body of beliefs to which they adhere, which they follow, which they observe. We have none of that. Our faith is based upon a person, the person of the Son of God. And everything flows from him. We are attached to him and to him alone. And more, this person that we call Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity in the flesh, abides with us always. to renew his life in us, his presence with us, his desire to be near us, to escort us to heaven, to give us the living hope of an eternity of happiness with God, the Blessed Virgin, the angels, and the saints forever. And then there is, as well as I told you, the birthday of the priesthood today. And that, of course, means that this one sacrament, the sacrament of holy orders, is the means by which we have all of these gifts. That's why we depend upon the priesthood and priests. That's why our ancestors, I've told you this many times, have gone to the greatest lengths to love, to protect, to foster their priests. Because without the priest, there is no Mass. Without the Mass, there is no God with us, not in the flesh. There is no store, no sacraments. There is no Holy Communion, no extreme unction, no forgiveness of sins. That's why people adhere to their priests and love them, foster them, and foster the vocations to the priesthood. Because we all depend on it. Me too. Who do they think forgives my sins? And when I am sick, who gives me Holy Communion? And when I am dying, who will anoint me and prepare me for heaven? The priests. When I was the only priest here for years, that was my one, can I say it, anxiety. I used to have to hunt down a priest to forgive my sins, to hear my confession. And when finally I recognized that I was at the end of my rope in terms of my strength to carry on all the liturgical functions and all the needs of the people, I remember that on Saturday, when you hear confessions, the lines would go from all the way to the front, see the side, and the front, it sent us up the middle. It's an exhausting moment. And that's just one part of it, of priestly life. And you walk out just drained, hearing all those sins and imparting divine mercy to all of them. And when finally, brethren, finally, we had more priests here, four more. You know what I said to myself? In my joy for them and for me, not only for you, but for me. You know what I said? Oh, thank God. Now I can die. Now there's someone who will anoint me. And when God calls me from this world, there was someone to give me absolution and give me Christian burial. How happy I was. We all need priests. Remember that you're a priest, you're only married, see, till you die. When you're dead, no more marriage. When you are a priest, words are, tu es sacerdos in aeternum. You are a priest forever. Even if a priest is damned to hell, he's still a priest. And his sufferings and his punishments are multiplied greatly because of the great honor and privilege and dignity that he threw away. You're a priest forever. And then, you see, there is another part of this beautiful night, why the organ is played for once, why the bells are rung in joy. And that is this ritual that we call the mandatum, which means in Latin the command, just like our Lord said it when he washed the feet of his apostles. Now, I am not going to explain to you at length what that means and what it signifies and so on. I've done that in the past, but I will tell you this. It is one of the most beautiful parts of the reception of Holy Communion. I told you that when you receive Holy Communion at Mass, or even outside of Mass, that communion is an extension of the Mass for the sick. You are joined physically, intimately, just short of the beatific vision in heaven with Almighty God. Through God the Son and through his humanity, you see, to God Almighty, who brings the Father and the Holy Spirit with him, is an intimate union. A union that is not only personal, and that is you and our Lord together, but is a union, you see, with his death as well. We are joined to him in his crucified body, risen and yet with his wounds. St. Thomas Aquinas says that one of the first fruits, think about this, of receiving Holy Communion, are you ready? Delectatio, pleasure. Pleasure. For those who receive communion devoutly, pleasure. As a foretaste of the pleasures of heaven, spiritual, pure pleasure. And in it, our divine Savior, you see, surrenders himself. What a thought that God Almighty, in this humble appearance, I say appearance, right, only appearance, of bread, surrenders himself to you, the God who made everything, the God who's infinitely omnipotent. If he ceases to think of you for a moment, he would slip into oblivion. His love then is that powerful. And he, you see, surrenders himself. This is one of the most awesome and one of the most humbling experiences for a priest who offers the Mass. He is holding the God of the universe, who he made of the cosmos, right in his hands. And by the breaking of the Eucharist, a sign of welcome to break bread. And in that, he, as I told you, surrenders himself, gives himself to you, to be, as it were, your servant. That's the meaning of the mandatum, the washing of the feet. It's a sign of the most beautiful part of receiving Holy Communion. Our Lord comes to you, submits himself to you, lowers himself to be part of you, to be within you. And that's why he said, this is the example. The first fruit of the Holy Eucharist is the gift of union, unity with the Son of God, and through him with the Holy Trinity and all the angels and saints in heaven and the souls in purgatory, and especially with one another. We are all joined together in the Holy Eucharist. One body, one spirit, one life, under one head, Christ our Lord. That's why he said, so you must surrender to one another, because you're all together. You're all brethren. As I have given myself to you, it makes me happy to think that all the members of my body are one and give themselves to each other as I have given myself to them. That was the identifying quality of our ancestors, who in the face of the pagans whose descendants are around today, when they were putting these early Catholics to death, And if you go into the church of San Stefano in Rotondo in Rome, you will see ancient, almost faded away murals of the gruesome torments of the early martyrs. And the one quality that identified them the most for the pagans, look how these Christians love one another. Look at that. And their love was so effusive that it was expressed and put out even toward their enemies. There was a great plague shortly before the Edict of Toleration, which came before the Edict of Milan in the year 313. And thousands and thousands of Romans, citizens all over the known world, were dying. And what happened, which was broke the stubbornness and hardness of the pagans, was from the Holy Eucharist in reception for the Christians. Because what they did was, they took care of their pagan enemies. They tended their sick, buried their dead, comforted them, prayed for them. That happened. And it was because of that that the Romans compelled, even before the Edict of Milan, to issue, their leaders, to issue the Edict of Toleration to allow the Christians to function, because they were so filled with compassion, so brave. That's all part of the mandatum that happened tonight. You are the inheritors of that glorious tradition of sacrifice and love and the surrender imitated in you of Christ our Lord to us. And lastly, there is as well the cost of all of these benefits, the cost to our divine Savior, our blessed Lord, by virtue of the beginning of his passion tonight, a part of our divine Savior's act of redemption that few people know about, but you're not one of them, are you? Because after this was all over, and I wish I could explain to you the drama of that moment at the Last Supper, when our Lord said finally, arise, let us go from here. And finally, without going into any more story, you know, of course, that our Lord was finally arrested and betrayed by one of the people to whom he had shown the greatest affection, one of his own apostles, Judas. What a terrible thought. Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Do you know, because of that, on this day, if there was a solemn mass, no kiss of peace is given. It's too painful. More than that, the very prayer that the priest prays before Holy Communion, of the three prayers, the first one is omitted, because it is from that prayer that the kiss of peace is given. The priest doesn't even kiss the altar. So painful it is to think that our God was betrayed by the greatest sign of love, a kiss. And with that, without again going into any more detail, he spent his first night in prison, there subject to the cruelty of the pagan soldiers. It's hard to imagine that the Son of God allowed himself to be shoved, pushed, tied, hands tied. We have in our shrine a small piece of the rope that tied our Lord's hands. And more, blindfolded, ridiculed, slapped in the face. One slap before the high priest broke the cartilage in our Lord's nose. If you look in the shroud, you see swollen. His beard was pulled, hair pulled. And all this happened completely alone. That's the reason, you see, for the procession. That's the reason for putting the Blessed Sacrament in the altar of repose, to give the people the time to express our sorrow for all that he endured, to give us all these blessings, and to show forth such tremendous love from the God who doesn't need us. Why, too, we strip the altar, to express the humiliation, the shame of a person who is guiltless. Even the good thief on the altar, on the cross, said it, didn't he? Have you no fear of God, he says to the other thief. We are suffering for what we deserve. This man has done nothing. He is innocent, and he is suffering. And what a beautiful inspiration that came to this good thief, that I am praying that I have, and you have. Prayer that you must pray when you are before the Eucharist sacrament. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Well, brethren, that is all I want you to know. Perhaps I've gone a little bit beyond the instruction of a brevis, brief. But no matter, I'm better than I've been. Please remember these things, will you, as we resume our Holy Mass, prefaced by the repeating of our Lord's command, liturgically reliving all of this to impart to you the same gifts that were given to the apostles, the gift of divine charity that comes from the Holy Eucharist. May God bless you.